First of all, there's a word that's kind of a hot word. It's called value. How do we value things? In this case, my guest is trying to come up with a value, although I think the general capital V value is pretty much, I guess, maybe somewhat understood, valuing oceans. And my guest is looking, as he says, at the prospect of anthropogenic global warming and is worrying about the viability of the world's oceans. And has done some examination of their, quote, value. I want to find out how to do that. Dr. Rashid Samela, Director, Professor of Fisheries Center, Director of Fisheries Economics Research Unit at UBC, or as they say in Vancouver, UBC, co-editor of the paper Valuing the Ocean. Dr. Samela, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
When you say value, you mean value to the planet or economic value? What do you mean?
Yeah, that was a tough one because we had to debate that a lot, you know. So for this study, what we term value is simply looking at what the value of preventing further damage to the ocean will be. So that is a very narrow definition of value here. So we say if we were to be able to do something to reduce global warming and climate change, how much damage to fisheries will we prevent? And then we take that value, that damage, and then we value it. We calculate the revenues that will be obtained because we prevented that damage. So that's how we did it.
Okay, and so you look at some of the commodities in the ocean, like the fishery. Is that part of your examination?
Absolutely, yes. So we look at how much catches would we get if we presented the effects of global warming on the oceans?
Yes.
So we get the tonnage, the amount of tons we will save. And then we say, what is the value of this in the market? And we calculate that. So to do this, we looked at the literature, right, on the science of climate change, on the ecological impact of climate change to help us calculate the catches that will be lost or gained if we prevented this, and then we value that and come up with numbers. So that is for now. So we estimate what that will be today, and then we'll say, how does the future look, right? So we make projections of the global GDP, the trends, say, to 2050, and we make projections of global population because that has something to say with on demand of fish in the future.
Yeah.
Then we look at rising incomes, and there's a lot of rising incomes around the world, in Asia, in the emerging economies, even in Africa, incomes are growing. That feeds into demand. So we make a projection of this. And then we calculate what is called the elasticity of demand. Essentially, it says, if you get a dollar more of income, how much demand for fish will you have? And this turns out to be quite high. We're looking at a 60% increase in demand for fish if world income were to increase by a number, right? So this all fits into our modeling, and then we come out with projections for 2050.
And so these are clearly, obviously, projections based on whatever inputs you've got at the time, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So the way we deal with the uncertainties around these numbers is to do scenario analysis.
Sure.
So we take a number of scenarios and then track them and see if they pan out, how will that work out? Because nobody really knows, right? So we use scenarios. And we also use sensitivity analysis. We say, if we make a mistake in the projection of one of these parameters, for example, the growth in income, if we make a mistake of 10%, 20%, how will that affect our estimates? So we have a range of numbers, right, that come out of this.
Sure. And there's so many parameters, right? So many variable inputs. I mean, I know you guys are experts at this, but you could pretty much do anything.
Yeah, but you see, the interesting thing is what we do. The initial point for this is to do a real meta-analysis.
Right.
So we look at all that scientists have said about this throughout the world over a range of period, right? So that then, using that, we're able to create bounds, upper and lower bounds of what is possible, what is the possible area of the high possibility area in order to do this. So there are ways that you can scientifically bound your estimates to make them as reasonable and as accurate as you can at the moment. We use all the science, all the techniques available to help us.
Sure.
Yeah.
We've just done some statistical analysis of a political election we've got going on here in Alberta. And you take the inputs and you come up with a high, a low, and maybe a median, and you come up with a potential result. It's the same what you guys did. You took a high, some low of emission characteristics, for example, and you injected them into this scenario, right?
Absolutely, yes. That's the same technique, really.
Yeah.
And you can see that the polls are not always right, but actually,
right.
If you look at, in general, they really give us a good picture of what happens on election days. Yes, you're right.
Okay, so that's the same sort of scenario you guys are doing, a little more complicated, obviously. But then, you know, we have statistical analysis is a little easier with a small sample like the population of a province. You've got a globe here to deal with. So where does all the input information come from?
Yeah, you know, there are lots of global databases that are being created, and this is one of the things we do here at the Fishery Center. When you think of fish, we have databases that have collected all the catches of fish that have been taken out of the ocean from 1950 to date, right?
1950?
From every country of the world. Because you have the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization that was given the mandate by the world community to collect this data. So we do have that. And my group, we have created price databases for all the fishes that have been sold in the markets all over the world. As much as we can, we scan the whole world to try to pick. So you have all these large global databases from the climate to the economics. And that's what we use here to try to help us get a picture of what is likely to happen.
Dr. Sumela, stand by. I'm going to come right back to you. Dr. Rashid Sumela talking about this analysis of the, as they've characterized, six threats to the ocean. Back after this.